Let us then turn in God's words to Romans chapter 12. Actually, we're going to start reading at verse 33 of Romans 11 and read through verse 8 of chapter 12. But our text will be the first two verses of chapter 12. We're going to go back to our sermon series from Romans. So Romans chapter 12, or rather 11, verse 33, and reading through verse 8 of chapter 12, having some context because it's always hard to come back to something we haven't looked at in about a year. So let us read together the word of Almighty God, Romans chapter 11, beginning reading at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, and these are very well-known verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are called to not conform to this world. Notice those first words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. What is the idea of therefore? It means based on what we've just read. And that's one of the reasons we read what we read this morning. We consider the wisdom of God, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. God's ways, God's wisdom is so far and above ours. He says we can test it. What is God's good will? What is God's wisdom for us? You can prove that. We are to present ourselves as living sacrifices, transformed, changed by what we are as Christians. So often the Christian church is just like the world. And we as Christians are not to be just like the world. I was interested a few days ago. Somebody said, well, Grossman's just like the rest of us. And that's good from a certain perspective. A pastor is not meant to be totally foreign and alien. But at the same time, I pray that I present to you as a pastor a way of life by which I live, that those would see and be pointed to how we can live. Not because I'm perfect, don't get me wrong. But we have to realize that we are not to live just like the world. We are transformed. We are changed from conformity to this world to sacrifice for God. That's the theme of what we want to see. The purpose of the Christian life is transformed from conformity to this world to sacrifice for God. We as human beings so often just want to fit in, blend in. And we as Christians don't have that right. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you just as much. We're going to stick out like sore thumbs in this world. Because the world is living on its way to judgment. The beautiful thing is God does bless us immensely as we live here on this world. We have to realize, though, that there are going to be times in which being a Christian is going to rub people the wrong way. And which do we choose? Do we conform? Do we say, well, I don't want to stick out. I don't want to make people feel odd. Or do we live according to what God has given to us in the grace that He has given to us? If He's given us everything, which He has, then why is it a big deal when the world around us looks at us a little odd? It really isn't. And so our purpose is changed. Human beings want to just go along and get along. God gives us a different purpose. But notice what He says. I read further than verse 2, because one way in which we use the gifts God has given to us, first of all, that we don't think of ourselves too highly. We all have a purpose. We all have a place. He says it's just like your body. There are a lot of things in our bodies that we can't live without. Some of them we lose. We have a lot of trouble. We lose a thumb. It's pretty hard on us. And you think, well, that thing kind of sticks out there. It's important, though. Or we lose an eye, or we lose an ear. We have gallbladder trouble or something else, right? It doesn't take long. One little thing makes the whole body trouble. Well, every one of us is important. It doesn't matter where we think we are for importance. Every one of us is important as the body of Christ. And we need one another. We read through the Bible and we see all these greetings. And we say, why do they put that in? It's just extra words on a page. No. It reminds us of how much we need one another as Christians. And not just here, but certainly here. We need worship together. But we need other Christians across the world, across our nation. And it's a blessing. We may never see some of them until heaven. But it's a blessing to have fellow Christians across this world. And so, in that context, how do we live? We are transformed. We don't conform to this world. We don't act like the world. We sacrifice in service to God. And as we look at this passage of God's Word, we see in verse 1 that we present ourselves as living sacrifices. The first part of verse 2, we're not conformed to this world. And verse 3, how are we transformed? By the renewing of our minds, by the making new of our minds. Our minds are broken in sin. And God tells us that part of the fact of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, part of the fact that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, is that our minds are renewed according to the image of God. That a little bit of that image that's broken is renewed because of our believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we present ourselves as living sacrifices. Why? By the mercies of God to us. Because of what God has given to us. God saved us when we didn't deserve it. We therefore ought to walk according to what God has given to us. That salvation which is given to us. Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. If we're not transformed, we're walking not worthy of the calling with which we're called. We're walking not in the manner of Christians. And we are living sacrifices. Psalm 50, verses 13 and 14. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. The writer of the Hebrews understands what the psalmist is saying there. And he says, God doesn't need the blood of bulls and goats. That's not what saves us. It's the blood of Christ. The blood sacrifices of the Old Testament, that they were pictures pointing us forward to Christ. They were sacraments. And our lives are not sacrifices then to save ourselves. Our lives are sacrifices of thanksgiving to God for the salvation which God has given to us. There is in the Old Testament sacrificial system, a whole system of thank offering. And that's what our lives are. Thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Not a sin offering, not an atonement, but thanksgiving. We are raised from the dead. And we are then to live as those who are raised from the dead. From the spiritually dead. Romans 6 verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Again, we do this by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And yet, we don't feel that operating. We don't feel the Holy Spirit changing our hearts and our minds from unbelief to belief, from judgment to salvation. And as well here, we don't feel the Holy Spirit changing our hearts from the desires of this world to the desires of God. But He's there. He's doing that. If someone had saved our lives on this earth, we would owe a debt of thanksgiving to them. How much more the fact that God has saved us eternally from judgment, as we talked about in the Catechism as well. And so we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. This is our reasonable service. We so often think that we're going above and beyond. And that's not true. Jesus tells the story about a servant. And he says, the servant, when he comes into his master after he's worked in the field all day, and the master says, doesn't thank him. The master doesn't say, shall I prepare you food? He says, okay, make a meal for me. And then when he's done with that, again, Jesus asks, does he thank that servant? And we don't understand that today. But that servant doesn't get thanked. All that servant can say if he has done everything is, I am an unprofitable servant. I have done what it is my duty to do. And that's our lives. If we do everything perfectly, we can't say to God, look how good I've done for you. If we had done everything perfectly, we go to God and we say, we're unprofitable servants. If we think about perhaps an employee today, you can see that picture. The employee comes in and goes and does his work according to what he's getting paid for. What does he say at the end of the day? Does the boss say, thank you, you know, this and that? All that employee can say is, I did what I needed to do. That's what I was getting paid to do. We live in a culture that spends a lot of time saying thank you. And it's not always necessary. It's not always... Now, it's polite. And politeness is good, but at the same time, we need to realize there's a big difference between doing what our duty to do is and really what God has done for us in saving us. We couldn't pay our debt to Him in an eternity. Remember the story that Jesus tells. Again, the picture of the servant. One servant who owed on the range of the national debt, the other servant that owed just a few bucks. And we have to realize what our debt is to God. That we owe God on the order of the national debt. We'll never pay it. Not, of course, beyond that. Infinitely beyond that. So how do we live? We live in thanksgiving to God. That is our reasonable service. It is not unreasonable for God, having saved us, to demand our lives in His service. And we're not to be conformed to this world. Part of then presenting ourselves as living sacrifices is turning away from the way in which the world lives. We're not to be conformed in sin. Now, this is not a mamby-pamby, don't submit to peer pressure. That's certainly a minuscule part of it. But the idea is that we are not to be what we of ourselves normally are, sinners in rebellion against God. We're to fight against that. John writes in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wait, let's rewind that for a second. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we love this world, we're not Christians. That's what that says there. Christians love God first of all. The rest of this stuff falls in line. And it's too easy for us to get that backwards and upside down. Remember the young man that came to Jesus. And the first thing he said, how do I obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. And the guy said, all that I've done from my youth. He was a Pharisee. And Jesus demonstrates to him that he had a problem with the first commandment. Okay, sell everything you have. But what do? We just sang, take my silver and my gold. Make me poor, God? Oh, I don't want to do that. Me? Lose my airplane? No. Take it, God. It's yours. Use it. It's not... Now, that doesn't mean He's going to take it and throw it in the dump, or our gold, or all of the stuff that we use on this world. Notice what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But we've got to put God first. And that's so hard for us as human beings. And we need, again and again, and I hear it in the back of my head, as a sinner, well, I want to go... No, I have something that comes first. I want to do... No. God, what He has, comes first. Don't love the world, the things in this world. Love God. What has God done for you? Save me from eternal hell. Well, I guess I owe him a little bit. No, I owe him everything I am. He's given me everything I have. So if he wants a little bit of it, it's his. If he wants to take my health, think of Job. Did Job then say, I lost my health, I can't be a Christian anymore? No. He said, though he kill me, yet will I bless his name. All the way through any trial God gives us. Because these things come from God, his fatherly hand. These are not times in which our faith should fall apart. These are times in which we can say, God, you have something for me here. And on the other side of trial sometimes are the best lessons, are the best joys given by Almighty God. And so don't present ourselves slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Not conforming ourselves to our former lusts. Now, lust is a desire for anything that's sinful. It doesn't just reserve itself in biblical language for sexual desires. Don't conform ourselves to those earthly desires as in our ignorance. But instead, as God is holy, you also be holy. That's a high standard. Not just start living nice, but as God is holy, you also be holy. Living in thanksgiving to God. Repentance is a change of mind. That idea in Greek, metanoia, it's a total change of our brain. No longer do we desire sin. Yeah, we fight with that desire. But no longer is that what runs us. The fact that we have been saved runs our lives. The yoke that Christ gives us, he says, is light. It's easy. As opposed to living in sin. And as we look around us, can't you see what living in sin does to people's lives? It just hurts, doesn't it? And yet, what do I and my foolish self desire sometimes? Well, I want a little bit of sin over here. What's that reap for us? Does that grow good flowers and happy things? No, that grows thorns and thistles and problems. And sometimes they're pesticide resistant, aren't they? We fight and we fight and we fight against sin, don't we? And yet God is more powerful than our sins. I love what John says in 1 John. If we sin, we have an advocate with our Father. If we truly believe, we're not going to sin. And if we do sin, he goes on to say, we don't want to sin. We try our hardest. But God is the one who is greater than sin and saves sinners. He doesn't save perfect people. Because there aren't any. Romans 6 verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present your body, yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Living in disobedience demonstrates what's in our hearts. If we are not living a changed life, I can't give us confidence of eternal life. But on the other hand, if we present ourselves as slaves to obedience. Notice that part of it is we present ourselves. Our obedience to God is cooperative. Now we remember, we know that God is sovereign in these things. But that doesn't mean that, again, that I feel that. When that desire comes in the back of my mind and says, well, I like, we say, no. I am a child of God. He has saved me. I am going the other direction. Presenting ourselves as slaves of righteousness, of obedience leading to righteousness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. God has enlisted us as his soldiers. We do not present ourselves as those who are entangled with this life. We present ourselves as those who are on the way to heaven. My son, when he has something on his mind, he's going to get something. He's going straight there, doesn't he? He's not looking around saying, well, there's something over. Single-mindedness. And how do we live? We've got something way better than anything we could ever get on this earth set out in front of us. And yet we're over here and we're over. What's our problem? Of course, we know it's sin. But where do we go? This world is on its way to hell. Notice that. We are not conformed to this world. The carnal mind is enmity, is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Romans 8, verse 7. Now, we don't take pride in the fact that our minds are broken. We don't take pride either in the fact that God saved us. We rejoice. We praise God. We take joy. But we don't say, look how good I am. God had to choose this guy. I'm just so good. No. We know that. God saved this miserable sinner. We take joy in God's mercy. And we don't look around us and say, well, the world's on its way to hell. Have fun with that. The other side of realizing how close I am, that I am a miserable sinner saved by grace, is then to have compassion on the world around us who are on their way without Jesus Christ and deserve God's judgment. And their only hope is Jesus Christ, just as it is my only hope. We desire their conversion. Matthew 16, 26. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it matter if we have everything on this world and live here for a few years? But what's the other side of it? When we die, where are we going? We live here on this world. We may have a couple of good years, but what usually happens when we gain the whole world? Look at the people who have. They usually end up in depression and problems. Because this world doesn't fill our needs, going back to what we talked about at the beginning, isn't it? I don't care what we gain on this world. If it's not in Jesus, all we gain is more judgment. And so we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed, changed by the renewing of our minds. David says, Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's God. We seek Him to change our hearts and our minds. We join God in judgment against our sins because we deserve His judgment. Paul writes in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness by which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. God changes that mind because God is able to do that. I can't do it of myself. I daily increase my guilt. But God will work in us, and we seek that, and we seek to cooperate with God working in us. By default, we want to earn our salvation. But instead, we must realize that we rely on Jesus Christ entirely. And so we live then in thanksgiving. And we show that in how we live our lives. Our minds are renewed to live out of obedience because God has saved us. And we show them the good will of God. in our lives. Notice where it goes on, using the gifts God has given us. Different gifts, verse 6. And we use them for not ourselves, say, hey, I got this gift given to me. But we use them for the glory of God and for the extension of His people, of His gospel, of His church. Showing that good will of God, testing it to completion. The psalmist says, Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. We can taste, and I like eating. And we can taste that God is so good to us. It is just one demonstration of God's good gifts to us. And so we are to show in our lives that God has saved us by how we live. And test that, and God promises that if we are obedient to God, He will bless us. And that doesn't always mean easy street. But He will bless us. Not just here on earth, but eternally. And God does give us wonderful gifts. And so we live not conformed to this world. But we live transformed. According to the mercy of God, that we present ourselves living sacrifices. We think of a sacrifice as killing something. And He talks about that. The silver, the gold, the gifts God has given to us. We don't hold on to those and say, look, what God has given to me. I got it. Mine. My precious. We use it. And then it's a blessing. If all I do when God gives us stuff is hold it to me, it's not a blessing. But when we use it, then it is spread. Then the gospel is spread and we have joy and excitement because God has saved sinners. And so our lives are transformed from conforming to this world to being living sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. And there's the blessing. Not in living like the world, but living different than this world, sticking out like that sore thumb sometimes, is the place of blessing. Because God is the one who determines where the blessing goes. Amen. Let us then bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You. Now You tell us how we are to live in this world, that You give us Your Holy Spirit working within us. Because we can't do these things of ourselves. And we pray, Lord, as a response of thanksgiving to You, as we have celebrated Easter and Good Friday, that we would present ourselves living sacrifices of thanksgiving to You. That we would use the things that You have given to us, that we would use our lives for the service of Your holy name. That we would not be conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed. And we thank You, Lord, that that transformation is a beautiful thing, an awesome thing in the gift which You give to us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we seek by Your grace to serve You, put You first, to sacrifice to the glory of Your name, that the more glorious would be what You have given to us, that all that You have given to us would be glorious to Your praise and to Your honor. And so as we sang, we pray, Lord, take our moments, take our days, take our silver, take our gold. Not a mite would we withhold. And we pray, Lord, use them to the glory and to the honor of Your name. Because that is the place of blessing. For we pray this in Jesus' name, who did not hold His life to Himself, but gave that. And the more glorious is He, the more glorious are You for that salvation which You have given to us. And we pray these things praying as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.